This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. It is now day 21 of the government shutdown. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor Monday ahead of what turned out to be the 11th failed attempt to reopen the government. Senator Schumer said Republicans seem happy not to negotiate, adding that fixing health care is an immediate issue.
The ACA premium crisis is not a fix-it-later issue like Republicans keep pretending it is. It's a fix-it-now issue. Because very soon, Americans are going to have to make some really difficult choices about which health care plan they choose for next year.
Chess grandmaster Daniel Naroditsky has died at age 29. In a statement posted on social media, his family wrote in part, quote, "Let us remember Daniel for his passion and love for the game of chess and for the joy and inspiration he brought to us all every day before asking for privacy." The statement did not mention a cause of death. This is ABC News. French investigators are still poring over the security footage at the world's most famous museum following a brazen jewelry theft this weekend. ABC's James Longman is in Paris with more.
At the Ministry of Culture, where the beauty and heritage of France is on proud display, some difficult questions for the woman meant to keep French history safe.
Madame la ministre, James, the minister is clearing her desk to make sure there's nothing suspect.
Quand on regarde les images,
all the evidence points to organized crime, she tells me. This was a simple but spectacular operation. They spent just 3 minutes and 50 seconds in the gallery, but we can't rule out an inside job, she says.
Following its 2022 decision to expand gun rights in the U.S., the Supreme Court this week has agreed to review a case that could determine whether people who regularly smoke marijuana can legally own firearms. The Justice Department made this appeal after a lower court largely struck down a law barring people who use any illegal drugs from having guns. Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck, and he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court, him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Right now it's 48.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Yes, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us after 9:30. I hope you can join us too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on this Monday, October 20th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, to the world headquarters of Civic Media downtown Madison on a crystal blue autumn afternoon at the intersection of State and Fairchild. Great to be along with you. Aaron Zommers, let's take a look right away at the old Sam Davison street cam for those watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitterish, Twix. Look at that. Look at that. Beautiful downtown Madison right now.
It's a gorgeous George day outside.
Yes, it is. Look at that. Leaves now starting to fall after turning yellow here. Those are box elder. I'm not sure what they are, but buses going by, people out there. Zommers and I went and got some beautiful Wonder State coffee before the show, and your hat blew away twice.
It did. Yeah, it is pretty windy. Yeah. The first time my hat blew away off my head. The second time I just wasn't holding it tightly and I felt very dumb.
All right, we'll check
in. A very kind passerby caught it for me.
Yes, a very nice person caught your hat. So that was good. Lots and lots to get to today. Stick around at the bottom of the hour. By the way, Jane Matinair, our friend and colleague who's been joining us on Mondays from Mondays with Matinair, very busy. She is a woman in demand. So her public demands her, so she'll be back next Monday. No, she had a couple of things to do, and so she'll rejoin us next Monday. But have no fear, because stepping into the time slot, we have Brittany Curlone from Wisconsin Watch is going to be here. She's been here before. A fascinating new story at wisconsinwatch.org as Wisconsin faces a housing affordability crisis, and how lawmakers and candidates for governor plan to address it. So Brittany has broken down the announced candidates thus far for governor. So she'll be here in studio today next to me at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that. Also, going to talk a little No Kings protest rally over the weekend. Over 7 million people nationwide turned out. Big crowd down here in downtown Madison, I know Milwaukee, and then smaller places all across small towns, villages, cities across Wisconsin. And guess what? Peaceful. Turned out fantastic. People had a lot of fun, lots of U.S. flags waving, some fun costumes, kind of Halloween came early. And people went out and demonstrated to exercise their First Amendment right, and no major incidents to report.
Even across the whole nation, extraordinarily yes. Peaceful. If I recall, there were like 100,000 people out in New York, and not a single person was arrested.
Yeah, it was a good time to have. But also, I did not get out, still trying to recover from, we'll get into this maybe later on, hour two. The old salivary gland stone is still there in my neck. And so we've now started medication. We'll get into it. But I'm fine. It's just my wacky health situation. If nothing else, they give us bits for the show. Also, I feel a little weird. First time in a long time, I'm not wearing Brewer apparel. Because, unfortunately, the Brewers were not able to overcome the incredible Los Angeles Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, in Game 4. 3 home runs, pitched a marvelous game, probably one of the best games in baseball ever, period, for Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. So, hey, crew had a great season. In hour number 2, we're going to take your calls on your favorite Brewers memories this year in 2025. So we'll get into that a little bit in hour number 2 as well. And before I forget, our friend Kelly Call, one of the producers of Just a Bit Outside, Story of the 82 Brewers, speaking of the Brewers, Kelly Call celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday.
The Libra that he is. So happy birthday, Kelly Call, out there in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Hope he and his lovely wife have a wonderful day on the shores of somewhere beautiful along the Pacific. So have a great day, Kelly. All right, lots to get to today. Also in hour number 2, our new segment, Wisconsin Fun Fact, and a What's Worse for You as well. So so we'll get to some sports. Of course, Packers last night managed to eke one out. Not pretty, but they got it done. So congrats to the Pack as they continue their winning ways down there against the Cardinals last night. So we'll talk more Packers and Brewers in hour number 1. But first of all, some breaking news as we come on the air here on a Monday on October 20th, 11 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. And this is fascinating to me. This is fascinating because you don't see this often. And what it is the treasurer for the Wisconsin Republican Party of Wisconsin has resigned. And retweeting or putting out there into the public space her letter of resignation. I don't know this guy, but he's associated with the Wisconsin attorney or Turning Points USA, like the Wisconsin chapter or whatever. Brett Galazowski, don't know him, but he puts out there on Twitter. And Lawrence Andrea from the Journal Sentinel tweeted this. He said, a pretty scathing review of current Republican Party Wisconsin leadership here from an outgoing executive committee member. That's from the reporter, the Journal Sentinel. Now, Brett Galazowski, the guy from Turning Points USA Wisconsin, says, quote, big shakeup at the top of WIS GOP. Treasurer Kelly Rue resigns. Ideologically, Kelly and I didn't always align. I'm further to the right. We both knew it. But we had real conversations about reforming the movement. He goes on from there. So he says it should be a wake-up call for everybody. I'm not going to read the entire letter. It's being put out there. It was politics. I believe Civic Media is going to put it out there as well. But I find this interesting. Ms. Rue, the now former treasurer of the state Republican Party, says, quote, I am writing to formally resign my position as treasurer of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, RPW, effective immediately. Says, after careful consideration, I've concluded that I can no longer meaningfully contribute to our party's executive leadership under the current circumstances. The absence of a strategic plan, defined objectives and measurable outcomes, as well as budgetary issues, have created an environment in which progress is difficult to assess and nearly impossible to achieve. And she goes on for that. It is a scathing letter and basically says that, I'm going to read this one more sentence here because I think this kind of encapsulates it. Quote, recent election results in Wisconsin are clear. If RPW does not drastically change its approach to everything, leadership, fundraising, messaging, organizing, addressing issues that Wisconsinites care about, then it will no longer play a role in deciding our state's future, unquote. That from Kelly Rue, the now former chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. We heard some of this summer during the RPW convention, state convention, annual state convention. There was kind of an uprising of further right. I know for some people, they're like, how could it be further right? But it can. Of the further right MAGA folks trying to unseat Brian Arthur Schimming, the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. That was quelled And Shimmick got another term as party chair. Now, he is the first paid, full-time paid chair for the Republicans. I'm not going to say forever, but a long, long time. When I was part of that party, which I left the Republican Party in 2011, but when I was involved, it was a volunteer. You got a stipend, basically. And then the executive director was the full-time paid position. But now the chairperson, Shimmick, is the full-time paid person. And there's a lot of discontent, it seems, within the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Don't forget now, with the new maps on the legislative side, going to be even more of a challenge for Republicans to hang on to both houses of the legislature next fall. A lot of political observers saying that the state Senate is in biggest jeopardy of falling into Democratic hands, or if you're a Democrat, picking it up and putting it into Democratic hands. But I think this is an interesting development. We'll see if it goes anywhere or if it's just kind of one discontented person. But anyway, the treasurer of the Republican Party of Wisconsin is out. We'll see what the fallout is. Coming up on 16 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock. Other big story today, and I haven't not heard that, just kind of came out here in Wispolitics a while back. And as my friend TJ might say, this is rich. News from Republican Congressman of the 3rd District, Derek Van Orden. Headline, Dairy Group Van Orden call for immigration law change to help farms. Now, if you've been following this program or many of our other great programs here at Civic Media, you'll know, kept up, that Derek Van Orden has been out there and right along with Trump on immigration. Throw them all out. Deport them. Get rid of, bring ICE in. Put more, voted to put historic levels of money into ICE. And we on this network, this program and myself included, me particularly growing up in a farming community, my grandparents are dairy farmers, been saying, be careful what you wish for, Derek. Because a lot of our ag economy in Wisconsin, particularly our dairy industry, would shut down if not for migrant labor. And let's be honest, both legal and quote-unquote illegal or undocumented. And many of these folks are not people that, you know, came across the border or whatever, snuck over. They came here maybe on a visitor visa or a temporary work permit, and it simply didn't get approved, or it's so bogged down in red tape and expired, so they're technically quote-unquote undocumented. And Van Orden is, oh, throw them all out. Get rid of them. Well, here now, the chickens have come home to roost. The American Dairy Coalition, American Business Immigration Coalition, and U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden at the World Dairy Expo advocated for immigration law changes to bolster the agricultural workforce. Van Orden, Republican of Prairie du Chien, said he wants to create a program attached to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection's app that allows anyone who participates in the department's self-deportation program to also participate in a program that grants them legal protected status for 1 year. Quote, it's about an 80% solution, he said during a press conference. Right now, any one of your workers can get on the CBP1 app and push a button that'll give them a plane ticket and $1,000 to get home. I want another button. Add it on there, where you push it, the button, and you go to a legal protected status for 1 year, unquote, from Van Orden. Without immigrant agricultural labor, the U.S. would become, quote unquote, inherently dependent on foreign nations to feed its own people, he said. Really, Derek? Really? No crap, Sherlock. So a lot of people have been saying for a long time. Well, now Van Orden's hearing from ag producers in Wisconsin saying, you got to stop this. Or A, we're going to go out of business. Or B, we're going to start relying on foreign nations for more and more of our food supply. And there's no reason for it. America, let alone Wisconsin, has the ability to create their own food, their own drinks, milk, but not without labor. And if you think that Van Orden has found religion, we'll come back and tell you who else is talking about maybe foreign countries giving us our food supply. But this guy is fine with it. In fact, he's advocating for it. More on this on the other side. It's the All Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, October 20th. Zommer's on the board talking about this WIS politics story today. Headline, Dairy Group, Van Orden, calls for immigration law changes to help farmers. The American Dairy Coalition, American Business Immigration Coalition, and Republican Derek Van Orden are now calling, and I got to, we're kind of short on time here, so I'm going to skip it. I'm going to kind of condense this a little bit for you. And this guy's been a congressman now for 3 years plus. It shows he has virtually no understanding of how the immigration system works. Because he's saying on the CBP app, the Custom Border Protection app, that you right now can push a button, click on something, and you'll be set up with a plane ticket and $1,000 to self-deport to go home. He wants to add another button where you just push it and you go into immediate legal protected status for a year so you can still work on Wisconsin farms. That's not how it works. It's not very, but it's much easier to just say, here's $1,000, go home, than to go through all of the process to become legal. That is part of the reason, a large part, that we have people who are undocumented now. It's not that They all came here. Of course, some did. It's not that they all came here, quote unquote, illegally crossed a border. Many came with legal visas, but because the system is so messed up and they don't get an answer, yes or no, their current visa expires and then they become undocumented. If it was that easy, Derek, with a push of a button on an app, we wouldn't have as many undocumented people. But now he's afraid. He's got religion on this. After being on the throw them all out bandwagon, now Van Orden is very upset, very concerned, because he thinks that the U.S. will become inherently dependent, quote unquote, on foreign nations to feed its own people if we don't do this. Yes. Yes, Congressman Van Orden. People like me have been saying this for a long time. He says, quote, I'm saying it out loud what no Republican wants to say. If we don't retain our current ag labor force, our farms are going to close, unquote. That's what we've been saying, Derek. The fact that people who entered the U.S. illegally would have to first exit the country and then return through a legal port of entry is a crucial part of the bill, he added. Again, he does not understand how this works. If you go out and you've been deemed undocumented or illegal, at least, and I was an expert at this one time. It's been a while since I worked in immigration, but I knew these laws backwards and forwards when I was immigration specialist for Congressman Klug. It used to be you would have to go home for 10 years before you were allowed to reapply to come back in. Look, let me make clear. I'm glad he's got religion now. But what did he think? He knew exactly where this was going, you guys. And at the time, he didn't care. He wanted to score votes and political points. But now the chickens have come home to roost, and now he wants to take care of a very specific industry, ag, which I'm all for. But what about the construction industry? What about the food industry? The service industry? Who also rely on these same folks? 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Gene on WCFW, the Tap at Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
That's my representative. He's all show, no go. Whenever there's some kind of problem, like even the medical issues that we had losing our hospitals here, he was there right in front of that camera and didn't do a gall darn thing. So I hope the farmers wake up, because everything that comes out of his mouth, he does not do or follow up. He's did other things, too, but I won't go into it right now.
All right, appreciate
Thank
it.
You for bringing it up.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Gene. Yep, appreciate it. Well, like I say, I mean, I'm glad that Van Orden's got religion now, but why is that? Because he's realized that a lot of people were right and he was wrong. And now he's looking at his own constituents and he's taking the heat. There's one other guy I told you before the break who's concerned, maybe not so much, about bringing in food products from foreign countries. As a matter of fact, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States this weekend, flying back from Mar-a-Lago after playing golf as the government was shut down and military doesn't have money to buy food. Donald Trump commented on high beef prices. No worries. Donald Trump has an answer. If you're a beef producer in Wisconsin, listen up.
With soybeans and one Argentina, you're looking to do that deal with Argentina, the bail swap. So,
are we expecting a beef?
Are we expecting a beef deal?
I assume you're talking about beef. Yeah.
No,
to get beef prices down, the only price we have that's high is beef, and we'll get that down. And one of the things we're thinking about doing is a beef from Argentina.
Beef from Argentina. You heard that right. The president of the United States, in order to get beef prices down for consumers, is thinking about flooding the U.S. market with foreign beef. Bringing in beef from Argentinian farmers to undercut Wisconsin beef farmers. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Do we have time for the other one in Argentina, the 40
if
billion?
We start it right now.
Let's wait. We'll wait until we come back. We'll save that. More because he said a lot about agriculture this weekend, folks. And this is why, and we'll get into this in hour two, or maybe a little bit later this hour. Here now, we're seeing the real results of the No Kings protest. because it's not always the people that carry signs, although that's important. That's great. It's the discontent. It's people that might have voted for Donald Trump and said, wait a minute, I didn't vote for this. I'm a beef farmer. I didn't want my prices undercut by Argentinian beef. I didn't want my workers thrown out of the country. People are waking up. And Republicans are a little nervous. Come on back. More on the other side. It's the Tyler Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media. Ready to go.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
1490 WLCX. Real news and great conversation for lacrosse and home for the Tom Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. It is now day 21 of the government shutdown. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor Monday ahead of what turned out to be the 11th failed attempt to reopen the government. Senator Schumer said Republicans seem happy not to negotiate, adding that fixing health care is an immediate issue.
The ACA premium crisis is not a fix-it-later issue like Republicans keep pretending it is. It's a fix-it-now issue. Because very soon, Americans are going to have to make some really difficult choices about which health care plan they choose for next year.
Chess grandmaster Daniel Naroditsky has died at age 29. In a statement posted on social media, his family wrote in part, quote, "Let us remember Daniel for his passion and love for the game of chess and for the joy and inspiration he brought to us all every day before asking for privacy." The statement did not mention a cause of death. This is ABC News.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brook Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck. And he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court, him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The live part of Saturday Night Live can be a liability at times, as proven this past weekend. Sabrina Carpenter appeared on the show as the host and musical guest. The host side of Carpenter did fine, but the musical side dropped two F-bombs during her song Nobody's Son from her new album Man's Best Friend. Both F-words played live during the broadcast and on the Peacock simulcast. But after some editing, the West Coast saw the PG-13 version. Carpenter performed wearing a karate gi, but unfortunately they were not able to edit out her wardrobe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Roofman is worth a look. This well-reviewed action comedy is a true story about a man who breaks into McDonald's stores through the roof. Even after getting caught, he manages to escape prison and live in a Toys R Us for several months while making a plan to escape the country. The film stars Channing Tatum, Peter Dinklage, and Kirsten Dunst, and was a really fun watch with a really nice but not too preachy message. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Right now, it's 48.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trigby?
She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagenhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great tune.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great tune picked out by our next guest, Zomer spinning it on the board here. 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on Monday, October 20th. Glad to have you along. Making her second appearance on the show since being named the state government and politics reporter at Wisconsin Watch. Pardon me, Wisconsin Watch. You can find her story and all the other great work at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. Brittany Carloni, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had a little bit of a cold last week, but I'm feeling a million times better, and the weather's beautiful today.
I know, right?
It's a pretty good Monday.
It's a great Monday. We were talking before we got on the air here. We'll get more into this later on in the show, but yeah, tough to watch the Brewers go down in four games, but I mean, after that game by Shohei Ohtani and the club, I mean, the LA Dodgers right now are just, you know, one of those hot streaks, and nobody expected, other than maybe the guys in the clubhouse, the Brewers to get as far as they did.
I know. I would love to have seen them go on to the World Series, but I'm just happy that we beat the Cubs.
Exactly.
That's where
100%.
I'm at. That's where I'm at.
And you're a Milwaukee gal, you're, right?
So, absolutely.
And you're going back to, you said maybe this weekend, and your dad's a big Creedence Clearwater Revival
guy. Yes, he is.
So that was
an
honor of your dad.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. Well, it's great to have you here, Brittany. Thanks for coming back over on a Monday. Of course, we're very, very early in the Wisconsin governor's race, but one of the things that has been around for too long and is only getting worse. And we did shows in Waukesha last week.
Oh, nice.
We did shows in Wausau, went from Waukesha to Wausau.
Ooh.
And we've done, around the state before. One of the major issues that I hear folks talking about is housing, the affordability. A, particularly if you're a younger person, how do you afford to get into your first home? If you're an older person on a fixed income, how do you stay in your home with rising property taxes? And if you're someone who's trying to rent, how do you keep up with rental costs? You know, it used to be, the old adage was, what, a third of your budget should go to your housing?
Yeah.
But that's increasing. Very few people, including me, can do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even when I came back to Wisconsin 6 weeks ago at this point, trying to find a place to live, and for me, the speed with which I had to move here, just looking at the cost of apartments,
right,
like the rental costs, it's crazy. So it's like whatever kind of spectrum you fall on as far as what you're looking for housing and what the affordability is, like, it is a challenge.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's going to be a key race, not only the governor's race next year, but also legislative races.
Absolutely.
And so you've written this great article, headline, Wisconsin Faces a Housing Affordability Crisis. Here's how lawmakers and candidates for governor plan to address it. Again, this story by Brittany Carloni can be found at wisconsinwatch.org, along with her colleagues' work as well. I think this is a great opportunity, and kind of set this up. I'll read a couple of the first lines here. It says, the median price of a home in Wisconsin rose nearly 120% over the past decade, from $155,000 to $337,000, according to data from the Wisconsin Realtors Association. What a powerful way to open up this article, and that says it all.
Yeah, I mean, I truly, I would tell anybody out there who's interested in this or even just learning about this, the data on the Realtors Association's website, it was eye-opening to me as I was kind of digging into that last week, because that kind of jump, I mean, there's so many things from like the pandemic to like, there's all these economic things that have happened in our country in the last 10 years. And just to see like that kind of jump, knowing, again, like we spoke about, like it's hard to afford a lot of things, but everybody needs a place to live.
All right.
Yeah.
And you saw, you're setting it up great in this article at Wisconsin Watch. Housing costs rose 120% over the past 10 years. In that same time period, Wisconsin's median incomes have only increased about 50%. So, I mean, if your incomes, if you're lucky, it went up 50%, but your housing costs are going up 120%, you know, you don't have to be a smart guy in math, and I'm certainly not. Even I can figure that literally does not add up.
No. No, those numbers were startling, and I'm sure it would be great to see maybe another 10 years from now if some of these proposals that get enacted, like maybe those numbers change, but right. The way it's happening right now, it's not a great sign.
So let's and another part of this article at Wisconsin Watch that I love is that you right away get into what bills are in the legislature. So there are housing bills making their way through the legislature. You're right, touch on multiple avenues to boost the state's supply of affordable housing. Let's take a couple of those up.
Yeah. So I actually even wrote down a couple of them because there are, as many things are at the Capitol, things get very nitty gritty, right. And it's hard to like explain that out to a regular person. I think the couple that I got into here, there's one on TIDs, which is tax increment, residential tax increment districts, which not a very exciting topic when you say that out loud.
Right.
But the one of the bills being proposed by the Republicans who are leading that bill, like there's a series of Republican-led bills that are going through the legislature right now, and that bill would really focus on doing a pay-as-you-go process for some of the infrastructure that developers and builders need to construct housing. Like often those costs happen, like builders put those at the very end of the process, and that makes the price of a startup home much, much, much greater than, say, if that happens, like those costs can get paid throughout the process of it being built. And that's one avenue that legislators are looking at. Another one is accessory dwelling units. And when I was in Indiana, I think they called these like granny flats, or where where you can essentially have like in a garage on your property, or like a shed. Not like you want somebody to live in a shed, but like a nicer
tiny home. I think
exactly.
Some people, you know, maybe between 900 and 500 square feet.
Exactly. Looking to allow that, like one accessory dwelling unit on a property. And then another bill that I focused on in here was about a condo conversion grant program. And there's a portion of a WIDA loan program that was created in the 23-25 budget cycle. That's essentially, lawmakers have said those aren't that, when, like there's a portion of this loan program that isn't being used. And the idea would be to provide grants to help like developers and builders convert like multifamily units into condos. So like people can have other avenues to afford living in a certain type of space.
Yeah. We're talking with the great author here of this, Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch, talking about housing crisis in Wisconsin and some of the things the legislature and gubernatorial candidates are being to address this. I was trying to think of the exact, and Zomers, keep me honest on this, but we had Democratic State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner on the show here a while back. I know he has a bill, a bipartisan bill, that would be modeled after Habitat for Humanity.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh,
and
yes.
And so, and I'm making it more affordable. Would it be accessible to everyone, right, Summers?
Yeah.
On that? And so I give him credit for doing this in a bipartisan fashion. I know you put some of the Republicans and Democrats in your article here who are working on this. Does this give us a glimmer of hope? Do you think they can get something done, Brittany?
I mean, this.
Oh, my! Apparently, we've been having camera problems.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure why. Hang on.
I figured I saw a wave.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It looks like it has started working.
Okay, right. Good.
Go ahead.
Going back to that 2023-2025 budget cycle, Governor Evers and Republican lawmakers worked together to get, I think it was about just north of $500 million in grants to start some of these affordable housing projects. So there has been bipartisan support and bipartisan momentum in the past. And I think Democrats and Republicans across the state, even in a press conference I was sitting in on a couple weeks ago, Robin Voss was like, all of us, when we go back home to our communities, this is something we hear about. And I do think given the elections next year, yes. I think this is something that people want to be able to go back to their districts and say, look at what we're able to do. Look at these things that are actually putting, I think people hope like solid examples of success coming out of that building. Right. I think that's what everybody really would hope for. So
I sure hope so because we have to find a solution to this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a good reminder that it's not just folks who are unhoused that you might see literally on the street. Mm-hmm. There are people living out of their cars, out of their vans. There are people who are crashing with friends or family because they don't have their own place to stay. Mm-hmm. So it's not just what we might think of as obvious unhoused, but there's a lot of people who are struggling that we don't know. And there are coworkers, there are friends, there are classmates. And this is something that's affected. And it's not just the quote unquote poor areas of urban Wisconsin.
Exactly.
There are a lot of rural places in the state and a lot of more wealthy places where you'll be surprised what people are doing.
Yeah.
There by the grace of God go I.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think, again, going toward as we transition to talking more about the positions of candidates for governor, I feel like there's not a lot of issues where if you reach out to campaigns and say, tell me more about your plan for X, that to get 7 of the 9 people who are running for governor to actually respond with more information about what they want to do, or at least some more information about what they want to see if they get that office next year. I think that also shows this is something people care about.
We're talking Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch on our great article here at Wisconsin Housing. Let's start right off here. We got a couple minutes before the first break. You start off with Republican U.S. Representative Congressman Tom Tiffany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did he tell you?
So I obviously don't have it word for word. Oh, you
there,
do.
Right there. I got it right there for
But me. I know that his focus was really kind of removing regulations that are tied to some of the costs that go into housing processes like zoning. I know he has also talked a lot about freezing property taxes, and I obviously that adds a cost to housing as well. But a big part of what he, his campaign spokesperson who sent his information to me, said it's really that regulation side of things that he's concerned about. And then I think there was another part where he's really interested in shifting some of the state's assistance programs toward home ownership rather than some of the renting processes.
I know you're here for the news side of it. I'll do the opinion side. This is Todd talking. I find it fascinating and disappointing because for Tiffany, because look, I get it. Developers don't need the red tape, but how does that transition into people being able to afford? Because I don't know. A lot of these bills, there's never a connection where developers have to offer an affordable price to the renter or the owner. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they will pocket that savings, for themselves. But that's, again, that's Todd's opinion, not yours.
Yeah.
Campaign spokesman for Republican Josh Shulman from the Washington County Executive also talked, a little bit about Heart and Homestead earned down payment incentives.
Yeah. Some of those programs were really fascinating to learn about, again, as somebody who has only been back in Wisconsin for 6 weeks. I think that program specifically deals with home down payment loans to help deal with the costs of, people can earn back, pay back those loans through through fundraising. And
I think we'll come back to the other side, but I think this is at least slightly more realistic to helping the actual person try to get in a home. But we'll come back and talk more about it with Brittany Carlone in Wisconsin Watch. You're listening to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, Con? What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with... Oh, my God.
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. 1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock. ABC's CBS News, the top of the hour. Check of weather. Our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, trying to get back from Arizona. Packers squeaked by last night. And we'll have a what's worse for you? Well, Wisconsin fun fact and more coming up in hour number two. Right now, we have Brittany Carloni, the state government and politics reporter from Wisconsin Watch here at the table in studio at the world headquarters in downtown Madison. Love it when that happens. Her great news story here at wisconsinwatch.org entitled Wisconsin Faces an Affordability Crisis, a Housing Affordability Crisis. Here's how lawmakers and candidates for governor plan to address it. All right, Brittany, we left off with Josh Shulman just to kind of put a fine point on that. The Washington County executive seems to be focusing more on the consumer with down payments for loans.
And what when I spoke to campaign folks with his campaign staff, they're really focused on that these have been provenly successful programs in Washington County, and that's something that he'd like to take statewide. So it's interesting. It's like a different kind of approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not endorsing anybody in this race, but I do find it refreshing that Showman appears to be not on the more MAGA side of things. That he's trying to look at something that affects consumers more. Mm-hmm. So I think that's promising. Laura, let's move to the Democratic side. Mm-hmm. You start off here with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley saying that he would gather lone leaders in all parts of the state.
Yeah, when I spoke to folks with his campaign last week, they kind of tried to put this into perspective. Wisconsin, there's a lot of different communities across the state. Something that works here in Dane County might not necessarily work up north. Mm-hmm. And I think they also put this into perspective that in the same realm that there are different communities across Wisconsin, there are a lot of different communities across Milwaukee County. Right. And he's worked on trying to bring affordable housing not only in the city, like within the city of Milwaukee. He pointed to projects in like Oak Creek and other parts of Milwaukee County that you wouldn't expect would necessarily need more affordable housing.
You write in here that Crowley has done this with his parents to build affordable housing throughout Milwaukee County. So mm-hmm. I think he has experience in this. Crowley
yes.
does. So it's near and dear to his heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move on to State Representative Francesca Hong, Democrat of Madison, in a statement that as governor, she would use a combination of tax incentives, zoning reforms, and public bank-backed construction financing stabilization. That seems like a lot.
That is a lot. But this is where you can kind of get to see that in a different realm from Tom Tiffany, there are some of the Democratic candidates have other approaches when it comes to like the regulation sense mm-hmm. of let's look at these other avenues to make sure that costs stay down, as opposed to the idea of like let's take these regulations off so that way it's easier to build things.
Moving on to State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat of Madison, saying that she would direct more tax dollars, mm-hmm. to existing affordable housing programs to speed up the time it takes for developers to get necessary funding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So her point of view when I spoke to her about this was that the state has a lot of really good programs already in place, but I think something she said to me was time is money. And when there are a lot of processes for developers and different types of people to get through to get to building a house, we need to put more into these programs to make them easier to get through to get to building houses.
You're right. Additionally, Royce said she would encourage more market rate housing development and expand support systems such as housing vouchers to help ease costs of buying a home. You're right. Crowley, Hong, and Royce all expressed interest in Right to Counsel program that provide free legal representation for tenants at risk of eviction, which I think that's really critical. Mm-hmm. You also talked to former WEDIC director Missy Hughes, former head of Wisconsin Economic Development Corp. It's basically say, I'll get back to you.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's one of those things where some people don't have, like some candidates might not have like a full plan at this point and might still be trying to talk to folks across the state.
But I think you do a great service here in your article because I find that revealing, because I don't know how you plan to run for governor of this state and launch a campaign without being aware and having at least a rudimentary position on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I especially when you were the WEDIC director, by the way.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about Missy Hughes. Again, yeah. Todd's opinion. Beer vendor Ryan Sternad said he would be open to increasing subsidies for lower income housing across the state.
And that was about all I got on that front.
Yeah. So Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez didn't get back?
No, I did reach out and I tried to connect there, and I'm still more than happy to talk to anybody about this going forward. But no, I was not able to hear back.
As they said, the old game shows, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, not a match. The board goes back. You might want to give her a call. When she has to watch calls, probably a good thing to call back. I would advise everyone who's listening to this interview, go to wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org to read this. I think it's informative. I think these are, because again, unlike Todd, you're not giving opinions on this. You're reporting what campaigns and candidates are saying, what people already in government are putting out there. And I think the important thing is you and Wisconsin Watch are bringing this discussion to the forefront. And I think that's how we start having movement on the affordability housing crisis of the state.
Yeah, and I hope that these kinds of stories, I hope to continue doing these kinds of stories. And I hope this kind of information can help people, because I think in the next 365 days, we're going to hear a lot. And I want to make sure people know what they need to know when they go to the polls next year. So hopefully this helps somebody out there.
No, I really hope it does. I think it will, because again, it advances the discussion. And as I've said, we're going to keep on this show. You're welcome back anytime. Mm-hmm. But affordable housing in general, this is a crisis in the state. And I think it becomes embarrassing for a lot of people. It's like, oh, I can't afford that rent, or, oh, I'm getting evicted, or, you know, people don't like to talk about these things. They're I don't want to say taboo, but it's embarrassing. Yeah. And I think open and honest discussions are the way we make advancement and progress.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Brittany Carlone, Wisconsin Watch, state government and political reporter. Have you back soon.
That sounds great.
All right. Stay tuned. Hour number two is straight ahead. A Wisconsin fun fact and what's worse and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show for a Monday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Chicago's restaurant industry says businesses are feeling the impact of the Trump administration's crackdown on undocumented immigrants, adding owners can't find enough workers. Gerardo Ouza, a Mexican immigrant and restaurant owner, says many of his employees are afraid to leave their homes.
They just told me, hey, I'm scared. I don't want to go to work because I'm scared to ICE take me, you know.
New charges have been filed against the suspect held in the disappearance of Philadelphia woman Kata Scott. Homicide charges have not yet been filed against 21-year-old Keon King, as the DA's office continues to investigate. Scott's remains were found buried in a shallow grave near a middle school. Assistant District Attorney Ashley Tosolowski on newly recovered video.
The recovered video out from near the Ada Lewis Middle School, where our search and the investigator search has been focused.
This is ABC News.